Good morning. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Well, the sun's shining out there. Supposed to be right next to 50 this morning. Well, this afternoon, I should say. And so supposed to be warming a little this week. And so I think that'll be good stuff. And so hope you have the opportunity to enjoy that. Thank you, Brian, for sharing that song with us. It really is all about Jesus. Life is, the world, everything we know is really about Jesus. And so I want to thank him so much this morning for all that he does for us. We serve an amazing God. A couple things I wanted to draw our attention to that's in the bulletin this morning. One of them most likely is going to be on a pink sheet of paper, and the other one's going to be on this vivid bright green. That's for a purpose, so that you see them and notice them. The first one there I want to share with you is on the green sheet. If you know it or not, we're about to enter into the Lent season. And so that actually starts Wednesday, is the first day of Lent, known as Ash Wednesday. And so as we begin into the Easter and Lent season, we put a little flyer here together for you to share with you all the opportunities for services that we're going to be having here at the church, and the different things that will be unfolding over the next month and a half here as we prepare for Easter. And so next Sunday morning is our Ashes and Communion service. Boy, we just have a great time with that, and that's just a very special service, and we want you to come, of course, and be part of that and participate, and as we begin our Lent journey. And of course, there's Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and on Easter, of course, we have sunrise service, and then we have breakfast, and then we have Sunday school, and then our Easter celebration, which is always a very exciting service. And then of course on Easter there's no PM services. And our Easter Lent sermon series is also on this sheet. And we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines as we move into the Easter season. And we want you to have this. We want this, put this on your refrigerator. There's extras in the foyer, so you can share some of them with your family, with your friends, and with your neighbors. We're loving our neighbor. That's what we'll be talking about today. And so we share them with our neighbor. And believe it or not, we talked last week about loving our enemies. You can even share that with your enemies if you have any. Hope that you don't. But so that's going to be happening. And for those of you that are joining us online, we're going to try to get this on the website for the church, DoverHillChurch.com. And you'll be able to access that there. And we want you to be able to participate in many of those services. Will be on online as well for you to enjoy. And then as we prepare for Lent, we want to draw your attention to the pink sheet, this nice bright pink sheet. And at the top of it, it says the 2022 Lent Challenge. And so each year as we come into the Easter season, last year we entitled it the Lent Dare. This year it's going to be the Lent Challenge, and we want to challenge you over the next 6 weeks in preparation for the Easter season, to give up something you enjoy. So it's going to be sacrificing something. Maybe it's a cup of coffee, or coffee for the next 6 weeks, or maybe it's chocolate. Some of you ladies, yeah, I see those eyes. Some of those, maybe it's chocolate, and maybe it's cheese. I don't know. Whatever it might be. Maybe it's fishing, Bob. Yeah, Bob's just laughing at me. Yeah, anyway. Something that we enjoy, something that we would, and not something we're planning on giving up anyway, you know. It does no good for me to say I'm going to give up sweet tea. I haven't drank sweet tea in a long time, except for when I was in Florida. That's all Dave's fault. But anyway, I hadn't had tea in a long time, and was that good stuff. But I'm still not drinking tea, but nonetheless, give up something for the Lord to say, you know, I love you. I want to prepare to worship you. Give up something for the Lord. I want to challenge you to fast one day in that week. One day in the week. I also want to challenge you to read the crucifixion and the resurrection accounts in the Bible. Of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You're going to find them there. And encourage you over the next 6 weeks to read through those accounts. I want you to be praying for God to give you and someone else a powerful Easter experience. All these opportunities that you're able to invite people to, I want you to be praying for somebody in this Easter season. And then I want you to invite that person you're praying for to these services, to this opportunity for them to experience Jesus as you're experiencing Jesus. And then I want to challenge you this year to add one new spiritual discipline over the next 6 weeks. And of course, over these next 6 weeks, after we get through the Ashes and Communion service, we're going to be sharing with you about spiritual disciplines. And it's in those spiritual disciplines, it's just about growing closer to the Lord and experiencing Him at a deeper level in our life. And I hope that we all desire that. And so we want to challenge you. The challenge is there. I just wondered this morning, are you willing to rise up to the challenge and be blessed, moved, and experience Christ in this Easter season? I hope that you are. And also, there's some extra one of the challenges in the foyer too that you can share with your friends and family, and you can challenge them to walk with you over these next few weeks as we prepare for Easter. And boy, I just believe that God is going to do some great things, and we're going to have a lot of fun as well as experience Christ and worship Him over the next 6 weeks as we share with the Lord. And so we hope you'll accept that challenge and just have a great time this Easter season. Well, as you know, last week we shared with you about loving our enemies. Jesus not only told us to love our enemies, but He also told us to love our neighbors. Now, for some, loving your enemy and your neighbor may be one and the same. You've heard those stories about neighbor issues, I'm sure. I live in a great community right here in Dover Hill, and I've got great neighbors. I've got the Little Methodist Church on one side of my house, and I've got the Rushes on the other side of my house, and I got Brenda Rogers in front of my house, and then I have Gene and Frida, and I have Andy Perdue and Joy Boo and Mark Robbins and the Sipes, and then over on this direction, Tony and his wife over here, and of course Matt and Bob and Mary right over here, and my dad down around the corner, and then we have Teresa and Roy and Dean and Lorna. That was hard to say. Carl and Norma right here. I got great neighbors. I live in a great community right here in Dover Hill, and there's many others down through there. And so, fortunately for me, it's easy for me to love my neighbors. But I want you to know there's more to it than just loving my neighbors or the people around me. And we'll discover that today as Jesus shares with us about loving our neighbors. In fact, loving our neighbors is a very important aspect of the Christian life. In Scripture, we're commanded to do so. Yeah, it's really not a choice for the believer. For the Christian, we're commanded to love our neighbor. We discover this in Jesus' conversation with a lawyer. Yep, none other than a lawyer. It's an interesting conversation, and we're going to consider it this morning. We find it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. So if you take your Bibles this morning, let's look at this conversation that Jesus has with this lawyer in regard to loving our neighbor. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 this morning. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Excuse my sound and stuff this morning, but Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, and it says to us, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Catch verse 39. "And the second is like it." That's very important. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." Powerful passage of Scripture. Join us in a word of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to You, we thank You for the beautiful day You've given to us, the sunshine, the warming weather. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And we just ask this morning that once again that You would come and You would stir our heart and mind, and You would challenge us with this concept of loving our neighbors. Lord, I just really hope that you would continue to move on us and that we would just be loving people, people who care about others. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just move on us in a powerful way and that today we have such clarity about this concept of loving our neighbor and loving others. And so, Lord, we need you to do that. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just come in a powerful way. And Lord, challenge us today in regard to this concept of loving others. And Lord, I pray that once again you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. We just pray for a physical touch this morning. We desire, Lord, just to be used of you to share your Word with your people. We ask in your precious name, amen. You may be seated this morning. In this conversation, we quickly discover that Jesus is, of course, in conversation with this lawyer, and the lawyer is asking a question about the great commandment, and Jesus responds to him with what Jesus refers to as the great commandment, or commandments, if I could say, this morning. And in this conversation, Jesus makes that powerful statement that you shall love your neighbor. And so today we're going to dig into this thing about loving your neighbor. What we'll find is one of the greatest things that you or we this morning can do is to love our neighbor. Jesus, in fact, said in verse 38 and 39 that it is one of the greatest commandments. Note, if you would, once again, in verse 38 and 39, Jesus says to the lawyer, this is the first and great command, making reference to you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And over in Luke, he adds strength. And so the great command or great commandments is that you should love God. And then he says, and I think if we're taking notes, we should underline this morning, and the second is like it. How is it like it? It's the great command. It's just as important as loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, this concept of where Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so I want us to gather this morning, this concept of loving our neighbor is as important in the life of the believer as it is for the believer to love God. This isn't a secondary thing or an optional thing or something I do on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and don't have to any other day of the week, but it's an everyday thing. Just as we're loving God, we are to love our neighbor. Jesus says to the lawyer and all those that are gathered in verse 40, and I think this is important for us to grasp as we think about loving our neighbor. In verse 40, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You almost have to step back a minute and say, what? These two things? This, all the law that we read about in the Old Testament? All the things the prophets said about God and about others, all that is summed up or summarized in two commandments? Yes, indeed. To love God and love your neighbor. Jesus, that's what it's all about. And so when we're talking about the great command or the great commandments, it really is about loving God and loving others. Not just neighbor as we understand neighbor in our culture today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and see that develop this morning. But really, when we talk about the great command, what we as believers, Christians, are commanded to do is to love God and love our neighbors. In fact, they're so important that all the law and the prophets are summarized by those two commands. And so it's clear this morning, if we like it or not, that we are required, commanded, to love our neighbors. You do note that Jesus never said that it was easy to love our neighbor. As we found out last week, it's not always easy to love our enemies as well. And so we once again have to ask that question, I believe, this morning, is how do we love, then, our neighbor? If we have to do it. It's kind of like a chore when you was growing up as a kid. You didn't have a choice. Mom and dad said, this is what you're going to do. Kids should have chores. It teaches them responsibility. Shake your head. Come on. You know, you remember those. This is something we have to do, just like those chores when we were growing up. We have to do this. And so if we have to do it, you know how you were when you had to do your chores? Yeah, I'll get to those. Yeah. You know, especially if you had to wash the dishes. You didn't want to have to do that. But you did it anyway because you had to. And I hope we do this with a little bit more passion, though, because it is about loving our neighbor. But we have to do it. I want us to really get this idea. It's not a choice. And so how do we do it? How do we love our neighbor? Well, if we're going to begin to understand how to love our neighbor, we have to think about what Jesus said in verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so if we're going to understand how to love our neighbor, we must consider the law. All the law. Now, the law is written for us, of course, in Exodus chapter 20. And we often refer to them as the, help me out, you know what they are, the Ten Commandments. We find in Exodus chapter 20 the Ten Commandments. And I think it's important as we begin to think about loving God and loving others. If you really are familiar with the Ten Commandments, five of them are about loving God. And you're not going to guess what the other five are about. Loving others. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said the greatest commandment is love God, love others. The Ten Commandments, the original law, what God said, this is what my people do, is about loving God and loving others. And so if we're going to know how to love our neighbor, we have to come back to the Ten Commandments for just a minute. And we're just going to share with you what the Ten Commandments shares with us about loving our neighbor or loving others. And the first part of the Ten Commandments that talks about that is this commandment that says to us, honor your father and your mother. That's not about loving my neighbor. It is if your mom and dad's your neighbor. For some of us, that's true. For some of us, it might not be, but it says to honor our mother and father, and we need to do that. And of course, on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're going to talk about that. It's very important that we do that. But there's something else, and even when you get over into Leviticus, Leviticus dives into each and every one of these and tells us what these are really all about. There's more to it when we talk about loving your mother and your father than just loving your mother and father. It really is about this thing about respect. When we're talking about honoring our mother and father, it's about respecting them. Respect is a word we don't hear much more in our culture today. We need a whole lot more of it because people don't really respect people very often. And that's unfortunate. But this is really about respect. And so when we ask that question, how do we love our neighbors? Where we show them some respect. If we want them to show us some respect, that's a two-way street. We have to show them respect. And in this concept of loving our neighbors, it is about this thing of respect. I don't know if you know it or not, but you know other people have bad days too. You're not the only one that tripped over the dog and ran over the mailbox last week. Lots of people had that same problem. And they had pulled in and then had to tell their spouse that they smashed the mailbox and wrinkled the fender and so on and so forth. And so when they get out of their car and they don't wave to you and say, hi, neighbor, they may not be having a very good day. It's about respect. We have to respect one another. And you know, believe it or not, we don't all have the same concept about everything. There's a handful or better of us in the sanctuary that love fish. We could talk about fishing and boats and lures and rods and reels and bait. And some of you are already going, oh, brother. right? And then some of you like to talk about sports. Many of you know that I'm still an Ohio State football fan. Yeah, see? No respect. No, not really. You know, we all have differences. There's things we like, there's things we dislike. But we respect one another. We have some boundaries. If we're going to love our neighbor, we have to have respect for them. And we could spend a lot of time talking about that. And I think you're intelligent enough this morning to know what respect is. And I believe you're doing that, right? Yep. All right. But we also find that the Ten Commandments also says that you shall not murder. Some translation says thou shall not kill. If we're going to love our neighbor, we cannot murder our neighbor. Now, some people on occasion might have that thought come into their mind, but that is not of God. Just so you know, it's not okay to kill or plot or any of that against your neighbor. That's wrong. But I want to move beyond that point for a moment. When we're talking about loving our neighbor, or as we'll understand, others. And so when we're talking about loving others, loving our neighbors, there's more than one way to kill. In this commandment, it's not just about taking one's life. Have you ever heard the old story? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I don't know if you figured that out or not, but that is a lie. There's days I'd rather be beat with sticks and stones than some of the words that's been shared with me over my lifetime. Words can kill. Words can kill. The things that we say to or about others, yes, can kill them. There's other ways to kill. If we're going to love our neighbor, the Lord says we shall not murder. We shall not kill physically or verbally. And the list would go on and on and on. Once again, we don't have all the time to spend on that this morning. But there's more than one way to kill. We'll find also in the Ten Commandments in regard to loving our neighbors or loving others. It says that you shall not commit adultery. Now this is a big subject, and we don't have time this morning to talk all about that. But it comes down to appropriate relationships. If you're going to love your neighbor and others, we have to be in an appropriate relationship with them. I'm going to say neighbor's husband, neighbor's wife. We got that, right? That's your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband, not your wife. Appropriate relationships. And that's very important in loving others. And even beyond that, this concept of relationships. There's some relationships that we have with others that, believe it or not, are not appropriate. Now, I can't spend all the time this morning talking about this appropriate relationship, but I believe there are some things that are reserved for the husband and the wife. I believe there are comments and statements and words that are left for significant others and no one else. Now, I'm not saying that we can't give our friends a hug or say, you know, brother or sister, I love you. But sometimes those relationships can become inappropriate. And the Lord says, you don't do that. And so when we talk about loving our neighbor or loving others, it's about appropriate relationships. We'll also find in the Ten Commandments, as it talks about loving others, it says that you shall not steal. Well, you know, truth is it's against the law to steal anyway. You know where that came from? Yeah, you got it from the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. And this, in a sense, is about personal property. We love our neighbor by not stealing from them. Believe it or not, they probably worked hard for the things they have. I remember when me and my wife lived on Turkey Ridge Road, which was a cow path, pretty much, with green grass growing in the middle of the road. We had a log cabin there. I missed that. And I had an old trailer, and I used it for a tool shed. And had my toolbox in there. There's three things, you really don't mess with. Man's family, his fishing rods, and his tools. Well, and some, yeah, okay. I agree with you, Bob. But somebody took their liberty of getting into my tool shed and stole half of my toolbox. They had all my mechanics tools in there. I can assure you, when I got home and went into the tool shed, little trailer, to get a particular tool I needed, and it wasn't there, I was crushed. I have to probably admit I was very, very angry. Because the truth is, tomorrow I just couldn't go out and replace those. Personal property, the Lord says, belongs to the person who labored for it. It's part of the respect thing. And he says, you shouldn't steal from them. And boy, we could get into, boy, stealing is not just taking stuff, but sometimes it's stealing their reputation because we've said something bad about them that we shouldn't have said. Boy, this loving thing is tough, isn't it? But the commandment says you shouldn't steal. Then it also shares with us this fifth statement that the Ten Commandments shares with us. I just really wish we had more time this morning to dig into these, but we just really don't. And it says, you shall not covet. Or in other words, you shouldn't want what your neighbor has. It's this concept of jealousy. Just because your neighbor has a new Jeep Rubicon Gladiator doesn't mean you need one. And we shouldn't say, boy, I wish I could have one of those. How do they have that? We've never made that comment, have we? You know how they live? How are they so blessed to have that stuff and we don't? Or how do they have a Ranger 380 Comanche bass boat? That thing's $80,000. Why do I have to have a green beat up aluminum bass boat? Well, if you take it fishing where I do, you wouldn't take a Comanche Ranger bass boat fishing there because it'd come up really beat up. And then you'd be really disappointed. When we're talking about loving others, we don't covet what they have. We're not jealous for them, but we rejoice. We shared the other evening about love, that love rejoices with others. And so when God blesses them and they're able to achieve those things, we should rejoice with them. Not be jealous of what they have. So much to be said there. And so the Ten Commandments says in regard to loving others that we should show respect. We should not kill, but rejoice in life. We should have appropriate relationships. We should respect personal property. And we shouldn't be jealous. Old Testament law. Remember, Jesus says, these two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Here it is. But Jesus also said, in regard to how do we love our neighbor? In verse 39, And I think this is just such an amazing statement. After we've already considered what the commandments tell us, Jesus, if we can say this, has the nerve to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You mean I gotta do all these, and then all the things I do for myself, I gotta do for my neighbor? Yes! Absolutely! Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, that opened up a whole new can of worms. Because then we have to ask ourselves two other questions. How do I love myself? Or do I even love myself? You know how many people, we just came through that series on depression, and I'm still reading about depression because I'm determined to understand as much of that as I can. To be genuinely helpful to people as I can be. But there's a lot of people that don't love themselves. Now, I'm not talking about the prideful, I'm the most beautiful, most handsome, best looking, best person in the world. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about that person that kisses themselves in the mirror of a morning. I'm not talking about that kind of love yourself. There's too many people like that too. Did I say that out loud? I do believe I did. But if we're going to love, well, the truth is, if we're going to love God and love our neighbors or love others, we do have to love ourselves. And when we talk about loving ourselves, that means we're taking care of ourselves. That means that we have an appropriate diet. Anyway, that we take care of our health and we take care of our physical being. We shower and we wash our hair and we brush our teeth and we do the appropriate things we need to do to look good, smell good, all that type of thing. That's loving ourselves. We exercise, right? We do all those things that helps us physically. And we take care of our emotional. And we take care of our spiritual. We read our Bibles and we go to church and we amen the pastor and, oh no, that's not saying. But all that stuff that's part of the spiritual. And so when we talk about taking care of ourselves, we do all those things. But we also enjoy life. Some of us do have fishing poles. Some of us do have boats. Some of us do have trailers, and some of us have all these things that we enjoy life with. And Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as yourself." And so, when God blesses us with something, it's also to be able to bless our neighbor. And so as you're enjoying your Zach's Creamery cup of coffee, you might share that with a neighbor. Not your cup, but buy them a cup. You know, it is post-COVID. We probably shouldn't be drinking from the same cup. But, golly, you're a hard crowd this morning. Anyway, when you go fishing, take a neighbor fishing. When you go to the craft store, take a neighbor to the craft store. When you go hiking, take a neighbor who enjoys hiking. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And when you come to church, bring a neighbor. See how that works? We ask the question, how do we love our neighbor? How do we love others? Well, we got this process here at the church that I think is very biblical. And I think it sets a standard of how we love our neighbor. And it's this simple. We pray for them. We care for them. We share with them. We empower them. That's who we are. That's how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for them. We care for them. We share with them. We empower them. That's how we treat the others in our community. That's how we love people. That's how Jesus loved people. But that brings us to the third question this morning that has to be running around in our mind a little bit. And we asked this same question last week in regard to loving our enemies. It's that simple question, why? Why should we love our neighbor? They don't mow their grass when they should. They got too many cars sitting around their house. Their dog does his business in my yard and they don't pick it up and my neighbors don't do that. So whoever's on the line out there, I'm not saying that this morning. I gotta be careful. They run over my rose bushes and they do this and they're loud and they're noisy and they got people coming and going all the time. I can never get any sleep. Why should I be loving my neighbor? They drive me crazy. My neighbors don't do that. I live in a pretty quiet neighborhood for the most part. Every now and then you hear a gunshot, but that's okay. I'm not being shot at that I know of. But you know what I'm talking about. Remember we talked about that person who cut you off on the road as you're driving down the road last week? And we asked that question, why should we love them? Oh, can you believe this? Because Jesus said so. Of all the things to tell me, yeah, that person, yes, that person, yes, I'm supposed to love them. Because Jesus said so. But that doesn't set well with us, you know. Just like last week, you know, there's got to be more to it than just because Jesus said so. Well, however, in this scenario, just like last week, it is the great command. You can't do anything better than love God and love your neighbor. And so this is pretty substantial stuff. It's simply because of that God-like love. It's about Christian character. It's about who we are, because we are God's people. We're His children. And God's children not only love their enemies, but they love their neighbors. They love God and others. It's who we are. It's who we're supposed to be. It's about that God-like love. It's about being an example to the world of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. I jokingly mentioned this a little bit last week, but I'll be honest with you, it absolutely drives me crazy when somebody in front of me who does have a I love Jesus bumper sticker on their car, or go to church, or whatever on the back of their car, and they're rude, they cut you off, and yeah, this has happened, with a person who says, honk if you love Jesus on their car, give you the finger. That upsets me. Because it's a poor example. A poor example of who we are as believers. And then we wonder why the world wants nothing to do with Christianity and the believer. This concept of loving God and loving others is to be an example to the world. Powerful example about who God is. And that's why we love our neighbor. That's why we love others. One last quick question. We need to move on. Note, if you would, this important question. In fact, the lawyer even asked Jesus this question in Luke chapter 10. There's a longer conversation than we have in Matthew about this very same thing. And the lawyer in Luke chapter 10 verse 29 says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? We're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to do all this thing for our neighbors. The lawyer says, I wouldn't know who my neighbor is. Who is the person I'm supposed to do this with or to? And this is where Jesus shares the parable in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37 about the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answered him and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, who was also the tribe that the priest came through, he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? In verse 37, the lawyer said, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Powerful parable. When we ask the question, who is our neighbor? When the scripture says, love your neighbor, who is our neighbor? I want you to know this morning, everyone is your neighbor. And so it really is about loving God and loving others. In this parable, just quickly, we find 3 individuals that pass this man who was left for dead. A priest. That's pretty unfortunate. That's the representation of the church. A Levite, who is where the priests come from, which would be a representative of believers. And then a Samaritan. Now, unless you know the history of the Samaritan and the Jews, you wouldn't get this thing. The Samaritans were the outcast. They were those ones that, they're Jews, but they're not Jews. You know, they're God's people, but they're not God's people kind of thing. And Jesus said, that's the one who stopped and cared for his neighbor. This thing really is, when we talk about loving our neighbor, is about loving others, no matter who they are. Our loved ones, our friends, our family, our neighbors, literal neighbors, people we come in contact with, and yes, even all the way down to our enemies. That's this concept of loving others. And Jesus said it's just as important as your love relationship with the Father. When we talk about loving our neighbor, we're talking about some pretty important stuff. So, as believers, I hope that we are loving our neighbor. Let's stand together this morning, if you would. That's Lana and Brian, if you would just come and play this morning. I want to ask us a preponderating question. And how we respond to it this morning? Well, we can come to an altar of prayer and we can pray about it. We can stand in our where we are and pray about it. We can take it home and say, Lord, I need to work on this. Simple question. Might not be simple to answer. But are we loving our neighbors? Are we loving others? Can we make that just a moment of more personal? Are you loving your neighbor? And maybe even one step closer. Lord, am I loving my neighbor as I should? We're just going to take a moment and ponder that thought. Maybe this morning there's a scenario you need to pray about. And you want to step out to an altar of prayer. Maybe this morning we're having a tough time loving our neighbor. And we want to bring them to the Lord and us. Or maybe even in our mind this morning as we ponder that question, maybe we're just not loving them enough. Maybe there's something we should do. Or maybe the Lord shared to us, we should have bought them a cup of coffee last week and we didn't. And maybe we need to. Or whatever that scenario might be. We're just going to pause a moment. Dear precious Father, as we come to you this morning, as we engage with your word, we clearly understand your word says to us that we should love others. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would help each and every one of us to be able to show that love and that concern and that compassion, Lord, for others as we love you, Lord. And the truth is sometimes people are easy to love. And sometimes, Lord, we know that they're difficult to love. Truth is, Lord, I know sometimes we're probably difficult to love. And so, Lord, I ask that you allow the Holy Spirit to flow over us in such a manner, Lord, that we have this deep, God-like love for others. Therefore, Lord, being able to change lives and to make a difference for the work of the kingdom. And so, Lord, help us today as we learn to love others. We ask in your name. Amen. I want to remind you to...